For those who are joining us now, we're in the middle of a very long series now. We're in the middle of one Mishnah in that series. So we can't obviously go back to explain everything we'll explain. But we'll try to keep this here today somehow within the get of the Mishnah itself. This is the first. There are five Talmidim of Yochanan ben Zakkai, the Mishnah is dealing with now. And we're dealing with the last Shlav of this series, where the Mishnah brings three memorim for each one of the five Talmidim. We're on the first of the five. So it's one aspect of beginning. We're in the middle of the Mishnah, and we'll deal with the... Quickly, we'll go through it again. Each one of the Talmidim have three things to say. Reb Elezer Omer, he's the first, Reb Elezer ben Hurkanus. Number one is that a person's honor of a friend, his respect for a friend, should be chavid, should be loved to him, should be close, should be dear to him, kishalchok, as is a person's own kavod. Don't get angry easily. And a person should do tshuva one day before he dies. We had already spent the last year explaining the first two parts of the Blessed and Huddle, but we'll, maybe in short, we'll bring out the main points again. Help get it down. Quickly, what we said last week, there are two main things that we wanted to point out. One is, we hear the correlation, if you can hear, this is the Teresh of Alter form of what it says in we learn after Recha Kamoicha. Both of them have the same format, where the direct message is worry about the friend. But the pattern that it's saying over here, how you go about that, where does it start? So it's v'haftirecha kamoicha. The person loves his friend as is himself, meaning that there's a recognized basic need for a person to have avas atzmon, and from there, he's supposed to extend the avas atzmon, the ava that he has for himself, till it encompasses a friend. The Hiddush that Reb Elezer HaGadol is teaching us is that in Kovod also, honor. A person has to have a basic self-respect, and from his basic self-respect it has for himself, that will, if he has the proper self-respect for himself, that would make it that he will have equally a chavivus from the Kovod of Chavera. In short, the Hiddush over here is telling us is, generally speaking, person looks at the person who, when you talk about your own honor, covered atzmoi, is something that we usually relate to negatively. It looks like gaiva, looks like hardiness. So usually you say your own covered, don't worry about your covered. Here the Mishnah is telling us that no, that in order to properly, the starting point, in order to properly have chavivus for the covered of a chaver, you have to have the proper hasaga of covered atzma. We explained last week, we're just saying this now, I'm very short for those people who were there last week, that there are two basic types of covered, and one of them we're very, very familiar with, is very negative, and one of them is what the Mishnah is teaching, is very positive. In simple terms, there's real covered and false covered. This world is the Olam HaShekhen. It's a false world, and most covered things that go on that are covered generally relate to, especially when you look, you usually see it on the other person, and usually when you see somebody looking for covered for himself, somebody who's involved in his own covered, he's usually a politician, and if he's not a politician, something almost like, and anybody who stands on the side is usually quite turned off by it. It's something that has a very negative smell. And the reason for that is because outside of the person who's involved, everybody recognizes the line. It's a falsehood. It's ugly. It's the man is a miracle kovod. And we say, as we should constantly have, kovod is a second name for the neshama. A person's neshama is called kovod. Kovod. The biggest thing, I don't remember, we spoke about it last week. He says the Rebbeinu created the whole world to be Megala Kvoidoi. It's interested in honor. All of a sudden, Rebbeinu is interested in honor. In short, every person has positive quality. The Rebbeinu is the source of Tevet. And as much as we are a derivative process, we are a continuation, a Gilu of the Rebbeinu Shalom. A chelek el kamimal, our neshama is a chelek el kamimal. So we have a corresponding quality to the Rebbeinu Shalom and all of these positive areas. Kovod, the word kovod means gilui. That toy that the Rebbeinu Shalom has and of himself, that existed before the world, without the world, is unrelated to the world. The world is not necessary for it, doesn't give it anything, doesn't give it any problem. The gilui of that tzayif, that capability of expressing it outside, of giving it over further, expressing it, that's the concept of kol. The tzayif, the positive, whatever you want, a word that you want to use, the tzayif, the quality that a person has internally, that aspect of that quality that can probably be expressed on the outside, such that others can warm up from the sunshine of that that's being expressed. That is the idea of real cover, real honor. I'll tell you a story. There was once a meeting in Europe of Rabbonim. Different communities got together. That was during the time of the Rabbonim was not on the up and up. Things were not going that well in class. So it was times that there was a lot of assimilation, a lot of problems. And there was one of the problems was that there was a breakdown in the respect for Rabbanim. So certain Rabbanim got together, and they decided they're going to make a convention discussing Kveder Rabbanim and what we can do about it to make the Kveder Rabbanim back what it should be. And each person got up and said their joshes and expressed their ideas of what should be done. One of the biggest Rabbanim in Europe at the time was the Rav of Telz. And he waited till everybody's finished, and he was quiet the whole time. Right? Finally, I'll come to Pelzer of Wise and he said, hey, he says, you're finished? Yeah, okay. So now it's my turn. Stands up. And he says, Amechubid is Mimachadid. And he sat down. In rough translation, that means a person who has internal covered, real covered, receives proper recognition. Okay. And he sat down. Can't look for it from the outside. That's the thing going on. That's a different cover. That's the cover. That's not what we're out for. That's not called Rabbanus. That's power. Right. If a person wants to have, if there's a problem, cover Rabbanus. So you can't look, if you start, even if there are problems that the people are not respecting properly. But you're never going to fix it out from the outside. You're going to do that or you're going to fall into power. Cover, the proper form of cover, and this is the only way that it can be proper. The person has to have internal quality that he's giving out, as he's expressing in a way that it's fitting for the people that he's expressing it towards. And then there will always be received. If ever a person has anything of value, that he produces it and packages it properly for the people who can receive it so they can appreciate it. Klai Yisrael are good people. People in general are good people. When they see something of quality, they recognize it. You can fool some of the people some of the time, you can't fool all the people all the time. If you have something of quality, they'll recognize it. If you don't, they'll recognize that too. Yeah. Where's the makor of all quality? The makor of all good and all quality is from the Rebbeinu Shalom. And the makor of all quality and good of each individual is that each individual has that Tzelem Elokim. Every person has quality of godliness. That he is a particular expression of some of the good that the Rebbeinu Shalom gave over to be expressed. Each person has his nakuda. Each person has his quality. each person as a total human being is a total tzaddik. And this is on all levels. The goof is also built. On the goof level, the body is built with tzaddikim. The neshama is built with tzaddikim. The person bechla, the whole person, take the person as a unit. A person as a totality has within him the capability of expressing godly qualities. Quality. And this is the makor, and the only makor, of kovod atzmon, which exists for all people at all times. In real terms, we're talking about proper kovod. Everybody has false kovod. That's a problem. That's a different subject. We're not talking about today. The negative kovod. But the positive kovod, a person has to recognize that it's always exists. Because a person, until chas v'shalom, a person deteriorates to the point that he's no longer considered a human being, he's deteriorated below the minimum requirement, then a person is a human being. A human being has quality. When a person comes to recognize this, the place that he has to do the work to recognize it, because there is work involved. Natural tendency for a person, especially in himself, between him and his own self, when there's nobody else looking, so a person usually recognizes stronger his fallacies and tends to take for granted his qualities. When he's talking to somebody else, or when he's expecting somebody else, then he tends, why aren't you looking at my qualities? And why are you pointing out my faults? A person in himself, every person likes the qualities that he have for shteitza. That's the way it is, right? And the chesrinus, so then he says, really, I know that a person is supposed to come to big things. The Baruch Hashem had big, big, big intentions from this human being. But me, I know, well, you know, what can you expect from me already? I have this chesed and that chesed. And a person likes to dwell around his chesrinus in order not to feel any responsibility. Kavod is a responsibility. Any person who carries real kavod carries responsibility. Because then you have to be human. You are. When a person recognizes in himself, he carries his own self-respect. This is something that's especially important for anybody. I don't know if anybody here has anything to do with Western society. If anybody was ever exposed to it, America is Russian recon, more rake. It's emptiness. It's what the whole tachlis of American society is, to empty out any self-respect. Nothing. A person is nobody. Right? And therefore you can do whatever you want. Anything goes. Why? Because there's no basic basis for anything. There's nothing at all. So that's a discussion that needs to be clarified. It's not outside the issue right now. But the whole of it, Western society, you see that modern Western society, the thing, there were even among the going, and not that long ago, certain basic human respect for themselves, that even if a person has things, he'll do it in private, but in public, he carries himself different. He carries himself, he'll speak a little bit different, he'll do things a little bit different. Right, now you go jogging in the streets. Big dog feather down the streets. Well, the dog, he usually goes with the dog because it's all the same. My body, I'm told you have to take care of your body. Sometimes I'm not taking care of your body. What are you doing in the street for? Answer is for the person who doesn't have any self-respect. Doesn't recognize without no understanding at all. And there's nobody to be embarrassed from because the other guy's also doing it. There's total lack of, I forgot a long time ago, there's such a musa. When a person doesn't have that self-respect, if a person doesn't recognize the humanity in himself and carry the responsibility of it, then he has no chance whatsoever of respecting anybody else. What basis is that? The only thing he can get involved is the give and take of politics or whatever it is. If it's worth it for me to mechavad him right now, I'll get something out of it, so I will. Or idol worship of one form or the other, where you put somebody so much higher over you that you bow down to him. But what basis does a person have for such respect as a human being? I'm talking now in terms of a human being. As a human being. If a person doesn't recognize the kovod ba'atzmon, then he doesn't have the source for recognizing the kovod of his chaver. Al tiyanoich lichois, the second thing that Rav Loza tells us, is also a big kiddush. We're, like we said last week, there are many statements in Chazal about anger. Anger is a very negative trait. And there are many, many statements in the Psukim, you know, it's Mishnah, it's talking about that. And this is a... What is it telling us? It seems to tell us much less about what it's trying to tell us, don't get angry. That's been said many times before in many different ways and many strong ways. Or it says, call Kodesh Gilavi, but it's sorry. Or it says that there's no end to the memoriam of Kas, anti-Kas. So what is the Rav Lezer Agolul telling us here in particular? What's the Kiddush that he wants to tell us? So we spoke last week, so again, the Kitzur. Al tiyanoich lichlois, there's a double Kiddush here. The Kiddush is that we are recognizing the human quality, that a human quality is a person he's not made out of stone. And every person has its limits. And there is a place where any person will come to Kas. Ad kedei kach, that on the normal terms, unless a person is a very, very worked out person, it's also hard to. If he doesn't come to Kas ever, then it's probably not coming from mindless images. It's not coming from quality of personality. It's coming from total lack of sensitivity. There are people that won't get angry because nothing fizzes them. They're totally disconnected from the world in an emotional way. Okay. They're so hardy in an internal way that they couldn't care less than anybody thinks of them. So you spit in my face and I didn't notice you. Who are you to get me angry? That's not coming. A normal, healthy human being who is a regular realm of a human being, not a mouth, not an animal. So there's some people who are higher levels, lower levels, but b'chol eisen, everybody has their red line. The Mishnah is telling us that the fact that we're human beings, like we just said in the first part of the Mishnah, the fact that we're human beings, we can't use as a ketur. Very often, we have to, every aspect that we can look at, a person can either see it as a reason why he's putter, or why he's chayv. So a person feels within himself that he's just a human being, and it depends. Like, I'm a reactor. You do like this, I'll react that way. You do like that, I'll react the other way. So I'm not in control, I only react to myself. This is taking away from the basic essence of the respect that we had in the first part of the Mishnah. It's not Mokin. It's not Mokin as a person in control. Al tiyanoich lichlois is the pshat. True. You have to recognize that a normal human being has anger within his makeup. But there is two different basic forms of how a person relates to the fact that he has anger in his makeup. One is that this is something that controls me. And it's just a question of what particular triggering mechanism takes it for me to set off the system. But I'm not involved here. I'm public. Right? It's his fault. Look what he did to me. Especially when you're right. Especially when you're right. He said this, he did this. Especially when you're right. The person that got you angry actually did something that was very wrong. The more wrong the other person was, or imagined wrong the other person was, the more right you are, the more out of control you are. So Blood of the Lord is telling you, no, that's not human. That's not the way a human being is supposed to work. You want to say that you're human, you have caste, fine, that's alpha and life. There's another way of operating this field. True, the bunch made you a human being, you have a glove, you have caste, so that's fine. They made you a human being, and therefore, you can be in control, meaning that instead of being a reactor, you can control the situation. Al tiyanoich lichlois means think it over. When somebody does something to you, and it's something that was bad, and you've already come to the conclusion, that's clear to you. It's even assumed that you're right. That it was very insulting, it was very degrading, it was very hurting, it was very whatever you want. Does that equal that I must react with kas? So the Vaza tells us no. A person has to know that he has the capability of self-control. And he says the first thing you have to think about is it worth it for me? You want to say that I'm justified to be angry? Could be. Maybe even. But is it worth it? So hear it me a little bit. If you'll recognize, and every person recognizes when he sees it on the other person, or when he thinks about it in hindsight, that when a person enters the kas mechanism, when he goes off on any form of expression of kas, he suffers from it tremendously. The person pays a very heavy toll. Anytime he enters kas, right on the surface, right? Immediately. He feels terrible. He's embarrassed from himself. He's embarrassed from all the people around him. He usually is in a bad mood for the rest of the day. But I was right. And then you have to drill over the whole day how right you were, because you have to excuse for yourself. So he hurt me, therefore I should hurt me. He hurt me a little, I hurt me a lot. Person thinks it over, and he realizes that kas, yeah, it's a natural thing, but it's very expensive. It's going to cost me heavily to get angry. I don't pay such expensive prices only when it's very necessary. Not so easy. Think it over. The difference is two. Number one is, the main difference is, like we said before, if you lose your human quality, as soon as a person becomes a reactor, just a machine, that's cause and effect. He did this, therefore I must get angry. And so he's lost his soul, okay, he's lost the quality. And this is something that most people get angry, recognize. They say, oh, I lost myself. Where'd you lose yourself? Lost and found. Where'd you lose? You lost your soul, okay. As soon as a person, that's exactly what fast has the capability of doing. It takes a person over, and depending on basically what other examples he's seen around him, the different mezzog he has, so it comes out in different forms. But always, relative to the person himself, it comes out in forms of behavior that are unpleasant for the person himself at this. Even if after I think it over, I feel that this is so hurt that I can't let it pass by. And I'm after thinking of a feel that this is within my human, is beyond the red line, and I have to react. I can't hold it in, I have to really react. So two things are gonna be. Number one is you thought it over and you decided, yeah, this is the time you're gonna spend. You're gonna pay the emotional price of gas. It'll be a totally different expression. Because it came after Seichel, not before Seichel. Okay? With Tzel Melkim. A Tzel Melkim can get angry also. But it takes on a whole different form. And the place where you see it is, second point, when a person gets taken over by Tzel, until he finds himself lost and found, it can take 2 days. If a person thought it over, and decide this is terrible, I have to show him how much he hurt me, and I'm going to explore that. I'm going to give him the cuss. As soon as I'm finished, I'm back to myself. Because I never lost myself. To the next person, or even more, to the person himself, I just get angry at, now it's no business as usual. I hit him over the head, I gave him what he deserves, and no business as usual. Because I never went anywhere, I was here the whole time. I got angry, not the angry guy got me. Altia Noyach Lichois, direct extension. In the beginning of the Mishnah, somebody goes, you have anger? Fine. Altia Noyach Lichois. Difference is, are you in control or is the cast in control? The third part of the Mishnah, which we didn't speak about last week, the Mishnah says, Veshuv Yoim Echad Lefnei Misasech. That is the Shuvah one day before you die. The Gemara asks on this Mishnah, does a person know when he's going to die? What does it mean? Should you do it the day before? wrong meaning of that. So he says, So the point is, you should do tshuva every day, because you don't know when you're going to die. So it sounds a little strange. You want to tell me to do tshuva every day? Say, do tshuva every day. Let's go around this way. Do tshuva the day before you die. You don't know when the day is going to be when you die, so never, what can you do? Do tshuva every day. Misafik. Doesn't have much time. It's a little high and dry. And the connection between this and the other parts of the mission also doesn't seem thinking as far left field as you can get. First, let's discuss a little bit the idea of tshuva that is being expressed here in this Mishnah. And what does it mean to do tshuva every day? Because maybe it'll be the day before you die. The only reason why I have to do tshuva is because maybe you're going to die tomorrow. If a person does an achet, he has a chiyuv, the rest is a tshuva. Are they going to die tomorrow or not? You can't say, I'll wait till the day I die. So, again, we find, as it would seem, that the Tzadvaz has come to tell us a big cool thing. The whole life do a visit. Do tshuva the last day and you'll be alright. Chas v'shalom. All right. Tshuva. And just to tell us that you have to do tshuva, again, there are many, many places in Chazal, it's Sukkim, it's Yom Kippur. The Chiddush that person has to do tshuva, that's not what it was teaching us. There are two types of tshuva. Something that's explained in the Sforum, probably the place where you can see it most clear. So, we've all been taken from the show, we discuss it very, very clearly. There's a, how you say it? That's the pshat in this Mishnah. There are two basic types of tshuva. The normal tshuva that we talk about in the Roman days is tshuva from the Aveiros. The person doesn't have it, he has to do tshuva. That's not particularly related to the day that he died. And other Rabbi Benyamin says in Shem Tshuva, the later you wait, the less the value of the tshuva. And there's a chiddush gadol being a posuk that even if a person does tshuva on the last day, the Bnei Shalom accepts that. It's a big cool in tshuva that you can do tshuva on the last day. And the tshuva from Aveira is the longer you wait from the time of the Aveira till the time of the tshuva, the more serious the situation is, the less the value the tshuva has. You take the great chesed Hashem to the person who did tshuva on the last day involved. That type of tshuva, the normal type of tshuva, the Yom Yerim type of tshuva, Enoch Adai has nothing to do with the tshuva. And it has nothing to do with the day you die. Other out of there, it's a kept. It's a cool. B'di-evet, the worst time to do tshuva on your letters. The last minute. It's your last chance. That it has the least value, but even there, the version will give you the accept that too. The worst time. That's the tshuva, the regular time of tshuva that a person has to do. When you're talking about tshuva from the days. You did sins, and you have to tshuva on the sins. There's another basic type of tshuva, which is more basic and earlier in the requirement of tshuva. The word tshuva means to return. Return to where? From where? The idea of tshuva, the basic idea of tshuva is that we were, before we were born, before the world was created, any way you want to put it, we were a chelek ha'chayim v'mah, a neshama. We were totally connected to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And the Ribbono Shel Olam took us and put us down into his blood. And not only that, that would have been half a tzara. But we're humanity as a klal, starting back from our nation, going through all the generations, and especially each person individually, has done all kinds of things. Part of it not by his own fault. Part of it is already Yusha from the fact that we don't live in Gan Eden, that's not our fault. It's our nation's fault. It's been for a long time we haven't had that opportunity. And the fact that we don't live in Eretz Yisrael with Mashiach and the Beis Hamikdash, to a large part, that's not our fault either. We were born into that. And if not, even to the point that we are able to fix that up, and we don't, so then it is our fault. But basically, the situation that we were given, that's a starting point, was very, very distant from what the Rebbe had intended to be. The starting point, what Avetzel Melekim, which is the starting of the essence of what a human being is, the highest form that there was ever in the skull in this world was on the Rishon Kayin of it. Then by the Ovos, or the Mitzvah Yagav. And then Klai Yisrael has the job, as a klal, to recreate, to redemonstrate, to re-bring out that cover, that demonstration, inherent in our very essence. That's our job, to bring it out again. Each person individually, and each person has a life scope. What's the most important thing a person does in his life? The climax, the highest moment of a person's life. And this is something that's, I don't know of any other religion in the world. This is something that's probably particular to Christ. So, the climax of a person's life, the last act that a person does in his life is to die. Not only does Christ have a totally different picture of the value of life, but we have a totally different picture of the value of death. In the Hanami, there's a time to give it. It would have been a lot better if we didn't have to die. But that goes back to Zaydi's other mission. If he hadn't done the chet, then things would have looked different. But since then, everybody died. Everybody died. Everybody died. Right? We're going to die too. Okay, then. We're all going to die. Unfortunately, every once in a while, a person looks around him somewhere, and usually it's not so distant from him, then he comes back shocked. You know that I just saw him in Shul the other day, and now he's dead. How could that be? He's 98, but I just saw him for davening in the morning. What does it mean? How is that? People are so used to not wanting to relate to the union of death, that they go through some... What's the normal first question when a person comes to Shiva? One of the first questions, unfortunately, I've had the opportunity to be at Shiva's lately, and I listened, it's just like here. It's very interesting. It's usually a little over our age, people over the age of 45, 50. The first question, next to the first question, is going to be, how old was he? If it was a few years older than the person asking, he feels better. If Chas V'Shalom was less than his age, he doesn't feel good at all. We know that it has nothing to do with age. True, more people. Generally, we prefer not to talk about the subject. But there are times when we have to know the glory of death. That is something that has a very high... It's a very high act, a very special activity, and again, just like kas, it can happen to you, or you can do it. Death is something that people assume. To such a degree they assume this, that you can tell it to them and they don't really want to accept it. You can show it to them, you can teach it to them, you can explain it to them, and they don't want to hear it. Death is something that happens to me. Right? That I'm going to die. Actively taking part of that process. I don't know anything about it. If I wake up one day and I'm on the other side, I'll deal with it. But until then, right? Until then, I don't know anything about it. Generally, as somebody once expressed, one of them expressed it very well, people think that there are two clubs. There are regular people and then there's the Dyer's Club. There's these strange people that they join this Dyer's Club. Right. And every once in a while, you find, oh, you also joined that club. Yeah, my neighbor joined that club. Okay. Don't understand that. What they're looking for. But that's a club like that. There's There are some type of people that do these type of things. You know, I'm not sure that type. The closer death comes, usually at 30, 40s, people come to somewhere along the line a parent dies. It's almost a necessity. That's the normal way of life. Hopefully a person goes through life and outlives his parents. So he has to, twice at least, in his life, experience on the closest level. In a way that's natural, without the special tragedy of Chas V'Shalom, death that's not the sacred. But the person has to come close contact with this concept that, what do you mean, Abba? Abba is Abba. You can't have a world without Abba. And then one day, he's not here. He also joined the Davis Club. It can happen overnight. It can happen sometimes over a long period. Like the warning. We were told that he joined up and just is going through the red tape. Says a lot. How do you do it? Especially when it happens overnight, so then you have the problem of shock. When it doesn't happen overnight, then you have the problem that you have to deal with, answer face. You have a shock, and before that you didn't, it's like, you know, you wake up on the other side. You don't have to deal with it. You don't have time to do it. But if you're given, many people are given this bracha, it's being brought down to the world, that the last few months or whatever of their lives are obviously going in that direction. And that they themselves and the people around them are given fair warning to know that there's a process that's starting, and if you have to do that, how do you do it? That's not easy to deal with people like that. There's a Gemara that says, "Tzinecha sheloi tomus, tomus ad sheloi tomus." If you want not to die, die while you still alive. If death and life are austere, if death is totally outside of the realm of reality, life, that's reality. Death, that's anti-reality. So there is nothing within a healthy human being that can accept anti-reality. A healthy human being should not be able to accept anti-reality. If you haven't come to live a life that contains within it the capability of recognizing the value of death, if you didn't live that way, then death is going to be death. All of those horror understandings that you have about death, that people don't want to think about it, if that's your approach to death, it'll be like that. Death in Ochanami can be a terrible, terrible experience. Chas V'Shalom can be a horrible experience. But it depends on one basic thing. The Gemara explains, Ban explains it in greater detail. Who is the person going? The person wants to go from America to Israel. Okay, so take a room with you. They had started on the journey before Lachlan. They got to Chor. They got stuck on the way. Lachlan stayed there. The Bereshim came along, told the Ramadan, nice start. And that's sufficient. Keep going. I want you to go there. The person wants to go. He's going in the right direction. Even if he says, Lachlan, I'll get to tomorrow. But that's where he was going the whole time. So the difference of whether I got there lat-lat, all of a sudden came at one time. But I was going there the whole time. That was my goal. But if I was going as far away as I can in the opposite direction, and all of a sudden I receive a warning that you will please go to the opposite place that we were trying to get, that will be a very unpleasant experience. A person can live is life in one of two ways. In Ukanami, the Bereshit gave us a starting point. As a human being, Bechlal, and each person individually, that is quite distant from his full potential. Even from his full potential in terms of this world, and certainly from his full potential in relationships to the Bereshit. The Tzelem Elokim, in some people, you really have to really work on it to find it. And it's not so obvious. You have to really make that extra effort to see that, no, really is a Tzelem Elokim. He does this and he does that, and he has some mistakes. He has some problems. But really, it's shining out with some other things also, but you still see it. The person is put into this world, especially our generation, where things are not so... We're quite distant from the Rebbein Hashem. We're quite distant from the purity of the quality of Tzelem Elokim. We're quite distant from our own glory, our own covet that each person has. Each person feels in a day where he sits by himself in a quiet moment, and he analyzes his own real quality. So he feels a very big steer between the way he looks on the surface, and he knows that it's not fair. He really has such tremendous quality, totally unrelated to what his own actions and things that he looks like on the surface. And a bit it seems a little unfair, because I wasn't given the opportunity, I was in the wrong place, I was exposed to all kinds of things, and she gave me a goof for me to her, and true, so I'm okay, but true, it's all right. It's not so easy. A person has a life goal to attain to the finish. And this is attainable by every human being, regardless of where the starting point is. But also, a goal will speak to us over here about the final tshuva, which is the goal of all of life. The final tshuva, where a person actually goes. The Vayishan gave us a pikod in the Shalom. There comes a day where we're asked to return in the Shalom. So it depends. If that was where we were heading the whole time, it's just lat. I have a few things I want to do on the end. So even if we get called up by surprise, get the Miluim notice, and I really have a few things I want to take care of first, but be so dull, that's where I want to go the whole time. So they're going home. They're being shoved the base. Maybe there's some of theirs. Maybe he's going to have to stay in front of this. There's going to be some, he's going to have to go to the Rangers' laundry. There's some dirt there that needs to be cleaned off. And the Rangers has laundry up there. It's not so bishmak, but it works. It works, right? At tzaddik, in these terms, and even if a person has a virus, but he lived the life of a tzaddik, okay, we'll accept that too, because the nice thing is going to happen. You go home. Sometimes you have to go through custom. There's a lot of things you have to go through until you get there. But you're going home. And you'll always get there. A person who lived a life where he's heading to go home, he'll die as the pinnacle of Hera Bernishan and Yud. He turned the neshama to its maker. When a person dies that way, the whole din that goes afterwards looks much different. Because the Bernishan stands in the din. He comes to Bez Neshama and he says, here's my neshama, they just gave me back. What do you say, boys? What do you do there? It looks a little different. But if a person wasn't supposed to film in that direction at all, he had different goals completely. He wanted money, he wanted kina, he wanted taiva, he wanted kavod. He wanted all of the luxuries, glory, and things that are only limited to his world and to his body. That's what he was out for. Those were his goals. Right? And then all of a sudden they say, no, no, to go somewhere else. Fight it. The every ounce of koyach he has, but the Bereshit has a mouth that's strong, and he wins every time. But it's a terrible tug of war, and it's the most painful experience, an awfully ugly terror experience that a person can exist. Because, in essence, there's no other move that a person can do in this life. It's a mortal. But each person has some concept of some marshal that he can use of his own life, where he was going somewhere, where he wanted to get. And he was really involved in trying to get there. And this was a goal he wanted to attain. And just when he thought he was getting closer, some outside force came and pulled him out and destroyed everything that he was trying to do. The horror of such a situation is enochanami, one of the worst experiences that a person can do. And in a panami, such a death, is better not talk about. Better not talk about. Elezra Godel tells us, Shuv Yumech B'Tnei Misoso. In fact, this tshuva that he's talking about is a tshuva of the last day. We are preparing for going back to the Rebbeinu. every day of a person's life, he's involved, should be involved, in the process of returning, of preparing himself to return to liberation. This world is a place to go through, to get there, to earn the keep for the mabah and the chul. But this world, to make a goal out of it, wrong direction. Shuv, Yemechel, the thing, Sosechel, Lezakel, tells us, say again, the tshuva of every day is not because, well, I don't know whether I'm going to die tomorrow or not, so I might as well happen today. He's telling us that our whole life has to be geared such a way that death is not an antithesis of the life. It's the pinnacle of it. It's called, in Tawitzish, Loitomus. If you don't want, you have an understanding of death that gives you nightmares. You want not to have that nightmare. There's a way to do it. Tomus, actually, Somus. He wasn't going to Tomus. Kill what? Kill your false goals. Kill your kinetai or kovli. Live a life that the whole, every day of your life, you try to bring yourself a little closer to the goal of going back to your life. Every tefillah that a person is mispavel is a me'in of the last day for a person's under the command. On those few tzaddikim that are given the opportunity, I had a relative, which I wasn't able to see. I had people who did see it, who died in this form. You have to live a life. You can't get it. You have to live a life when you're going that way. But a person who dies that way, regardless of any difficulties that there were in the last processes, but the last day that a person is going to return his neshama, is a yom tov. It's a yom simchasa. It's a day that he's going home. The people that live that way are given the schus to do it before. I've seen, I've heard of such things, and it's a whole different world. I had a great grandfather die that way. And my father was a young child at the time he was there. He told me how it looks like. It's a different world. He was sick. He was sick for 3-4 years before that. They called in the doctor that day to check him. So it was something that was special. They checked him. There's nothing special to that. He says, sure, check me again. Everything okay? He says, sign. I'm telling him, check me, out the records. He checked, there's nothing special going on. He said, thank you very much, doctor. You've helped me very much over the years. I won't need your services anymore. He paid him and he said, have a good day. Then he called his children and explained to them that he's going home. And this is the last opportunity he has to speak to them. So a few things he wants to speak to them. So first he spoke to them all together and he called them one at a time. And when he's finished that, he lied down in bed. He says, I had the doctor here this morning. And here, he said, it's nothing special today. Says, the reason why a person is sick a few days before is not that she causes death. Sickness doesn't cause death. It's that she has a right to be warned, to be prepared, to know that time is going to come. Thank you. Now I'm going. Bye. Right. Rejoice, and he told me things he has to say. He lied down in bed, stretched by himself, the other things that he said over there, he went home. But when a person like this dies, there's other stories if you don't know. You can see on the guf that's left over a shan, a simcha, a tsuma, that is very hard to find in this world except they may be by a chosid and kal. And anybody, Chavrei Kedisha, people that are involved with death, can be made to be. That you can see in a person. When you do a tired person, not always, but there are times when you can see it. That person was, this is called Ratishakuyamah. That person has a schoik. In this world, a person can't be mole schoik pina. But on the last day, if you lived a diet that death is paralyzed, you're going home, that's where you're headed the whole time. Right? Then you laugh at the whole world. Say, fellows, have a good day. I'm going home. Ratishakuyamah. Lezer Agolo teaches us to live a life on a daily basis. The person lives that every day he brings himself a little closer to the Rebbein Shem and removes himself a little bit more from his sinking his teeth into the Hazeh. He's still, you know, he's a Purakim. A little bit less. Then death is parallel. And death is what is left of the Erechot. So, on the surface, you can see, even on this level, that we learned the Mishnah, the connection between the three Cholokim of Lazar HaKodol, and how Lazar HaKodol took three very, very unpleasant issues. Gaiva, Kas, Kovit, we'll call it, Kas and Death. And show us the beauty of it. Show us the quality of them, and show them that they're not side issues, but they're central issues of how a person to properly go about all aspects of human endeavor.